This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
School day was exciting because there was one family that had a truck in Vaimoso. And, you know, and we all used to stand there waiting for the truck to come from the back.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully it will stop and we'll all jump to the back. That was when we were all, well, we are allowed to sit at the back and get a ride into school.
Hello, everyone. Dankaho.
Selamat datang.
Konnichiwa.
Hola.
안녕하세요.
Assalamualaikum.
And kia ora.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to Connecting Cultures Features, a show by, for, and about the multicultural people of Dunedin in New Zealand. Today, we have Aurelia here from Lupe Sina, a Samoan women radio show and podcast. We're very excited to have her here on the studios because she has just recorded Lupe Sina's 100th Woo-hoo! Episode. Yay! Talofa, welcome.
Talofa, five tight. Oh, it's exciting.
Yes.
Thank you for the email. I was like, oh, really? Okay. That's us.
I love when broadcasters don't keep track of their numbers and it's a surprise to them.
It was. Yeah. It really blew me. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. We're here. Hundreds. That's awesome.
Yes. Because your show is fortnightly. Before that, I think it was weekly. So, yeah.
True.
You've been doing a lot of, at least more than 100 weeks. That's a lot.
Yeah. But I've really enjoyed it. Aww. Really still enjoy it. So, yes, it was when we started, it was a weekly one. And then, you know, challenges and things. And I was like, if I can do it fortnightly, I can do it fortnightly. And flexibility from the Otago Access Radio on how to record it and send it in has been, that's really good. Yeah. I've actually enjoyed that partnership.
Yeah, and we want to make podcasting as accessible for everyone. So
I agree.
It's in our name, Otago Access Radio.
It's very true. I like it.
Aurelia, so you are here in the studios actually for the first time since we've moved.
I know.
Okay, tell everyone your excitement.
Oh my gosh, people, you have to come. I remember the first one, we were down dungeon. I walked in here and it's like airy, it's like spacious, it's new. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to come often now to record on site because it's such a, I don't know, I walked in, I was quite happy walking in.
Yeah.
And then besides, you know, seeing the team here, but it was just, it's such a good space and the vibe positive.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm like, ooh, you got to come. You have to come.
And you haven't even explored the other community house.
I'm only on the second floor. And Dom said that there was more in the downstairs and I think the sixth floor, he said. So I'm happy here. I'm sure I'll be even happier when I visit the other two floors as well.
Yeah.
But, this is awesome. I love it.
I love that we're capturing your first impressions.
I'm so glad it's my 100th. And it's my first time on site, on the new site.
Yeah.
And, this is cool.
Thank you, Aurelia. This is so special because we've been here for almost 2 years now, or already 2 years now. And we really want to thank our funders for making the move happen.
Yes, thank you, funders.
We upgraded everything.
Mm. That's it. Upgraded everything. And the radio, I mean, it's a community radio, and it's great to have it happening and have the funders support it all the way through and to have you guys here.
Aww.
You guys have been amazing. You guys have been busy too.
Yeah, yeah. And we are so excited for people like you who want to, you know, share your culture and stories to the community. Before we talk about Lupe Sina, I wonder if we can talk about you because I think this is also like the first time we really get to know each other in this way. So Aurelia, can you please introduce yourself?
Talo falava malor soifo maua malelangi mama fa talo fa tulo oto pa ia malo oto mamalu. Good afternoon. Is it morning? Oh gosh, I'm lost here because the sun's still up. My name is Aurelia. I am Samoan. My full name, oh gosh, I'm Samoan. I have a Maatai title. I'll tell you the story. So For myself, for Samoans, names are quite important. So my full name is, with my title, is Lelifano Valevale, Irolia, Le Natio Le Tuitonga, Halevalu, Etewati Runi. I was born in Tamaki Makaurau. My parents were Whaifeau, George ministers, studying for the Methodist Church. My father is the oldest, and as known, it was the oldest is always given to the grandparents, as in the Fasamoa, to look after the grandparents.
Oh.
I wasn't the oldest. My brother was the oldest. Those days, there was no internet. It was a lot of mail on air. So my mom, the way the story goes, is my mom wrote a letter to my paternal grandma, Mama, to say, can I keep my oldest? But the next one will be yours. So they kept the oldest, my oldest brother, and I was the next one. And of course, you cannot go back. It was a promise, and you have to keep it. I'm told that I was here with my parents and my older brother for a year. So my birthday is right before Christmas. I was here for a year. I had my birthday, and then I was on the plane to Samoa on the day after my first birthday, and I grew up with my paternal grandparents. I loved it. Absolutely loved. You know, they were my parents. Mama and Daddy were my parents. They were both church ministers for the Samoa Methodist Church, and I traveled with them. And with them, I had my older brother, another older brother. And so it was us and them traveling around in the villages in Samoa, grew up learning, the Bible, but also learning the Fa'asamoa, and learning the Ainga's, the branches of the Ainga's, each of the villages that we come from, that I come from, the meaning of my name. So it was a childhood that I absolutely loved. I think I was 9 when I met my birth parents and my siblings, which to me I didn't know. And apparently I wasn't very happy. I was like, well, I never know, don't know who you are. But it was good. They met and then they moved to Samoa. So all my growing up was in Samoa with my extended family and with my mum and daddy, with my grandparents. Dad's youngest brother and his wife and children, they were looking after the older parents. So the others were away, but he was one staying home to look after the matuas, but also the families, the extended families, the villages and everything. So that was his role. So I had my mom and daddy, my grandma and grandpa. Uncle, auntie were my mom and dad. Aww. And with them was all my siblings. So they were my brothers and sisters. I grew up with them. So there was 8 of them plus me, and that was a big family. And then in my immediate family, there were 6 of us. So I had another family. So I called my biological parents my mother and my father. So I had to try and keep this separate in me. But I felt so blessed. I had 3 sets of parents with big group of siblings, and then we all grew up together. So my ones from New Zealand came back, and we all grew up together in this huge whale open house, and family was amazing. Aww. You know, we grew up together. We know each other. We still are close. We still are brothers and sisters, and we do things together. That's a blessing, and to me, I am blessed in that. So came away to uni. My first time away was coming all the way to Dunedin from Samoa.
So you came to Dunedin for university.
I did all my schooling in Samoa.
Before we talk about Dunedin, I'm learning a lot about the Samoan family structure here. And I really appreciate you for letting us know of the the tradition where you give away your first child to your grandparents to take so that they can be cared for. Yep. And I think that is so special.
It is. It is really important. It is because they cannot be there, the parents, so it's to continue the care, to have somebody to be the hands and the feet of the parents of the Matuas. And that was my role. And I loved it.
Yeah, it's your life destiny. And what I love about it as well, you got to learn your culture from your grandparents.
Absolutely. And yeah, that was in itself an education that you cannot get anywhere else but growing up with my Matuas and just being taken to the different villages, meeting the different families, knowing the genealogy, because it's quite important, and knowing who's who, you know, who's who. And it was, and also just the Fasamo itself, you know, the presentations, the va with people and respect. It was, yeah, it's an education you cannot get anywhere else but be there, and I am blessed. I know that.
Can you please tell us about your village, your island?
I grew up in, when because Mama and Daddy were Whaifeaus for the Methodist Church. So the Methodist Church is, they have an annual conference, and when they allocate ministers, each minister per village, they have a maximum of 7 years in each village, and then the conference decides where they move to next. So I'm told that when I was taken or sent to Samoa, my mama and daddy were in Matafele, which is a parish that's right in the center of Apia, the Methodist Church, right in the center of Apia. I don't remember that. What I remember is the next village, and that is Salamumu, Salamumu Tai. Oh, to me, that's paradise. That I remember. And it's going through, when you're going through the Tulifanga, where there's the movies were taken and where there is the lovely beaches. Yes, I know they have the lovely beaches, but they pass that to go all the way to my village, which is a hidden treasure. That's where I grew up, and that's what I remember. And I knew the village, you know. It was all on feet back and forth. I knew the people. I knew the families. Magical childhood.
What was your daily life like there?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of chores, I think. You know, it was always, I was never hungry. But I was always, I was never hungry because there was different households that always be, but hung out with the kids. But I always remember being, like my mom would call and I'd always be doing a chore. One of the things Mama and I used to do is every weekend, Mama would have, there'll be two of them. One weekend will be the linen cupboard. And Mama was very particular about how the linen cupboard, and it's just changing how the things are folded. So one weekend will be emptying the linen boxes and refold it in a different folding and then put it back. So that was one weekend. The other weekend was to deal with the fine mats and the mats. So, and that was a big part because they are like gifts, and Mama had a ranking. So there would be a bed base of just mats. And it would be quite high, depending on how many mats, good sleeping mats, decorated mats, or fine mats, and fine mats.
They all have different
purposes. Oh, they all have different purposes. But we had a ranking system. So the number ones were right at the bottom. These are the best, the finest mats. And then you'll have rank number two, which is the big ones, and then you'll have by size number threes to number fours. So, you know, depending on who comes to ask for, because, you know, people then come and ask for, have you got something so we can give? It depends on who and how my mama would, you know, who are they and
how and she feels about
how
them.
She feels about who they are. It would be going, oh, Leah, just number four. It would be like, okay, number four. If it's a bigger one, then it'll be number two. I was like, but number one comes out really, really, like it's only when it's
rarely
a really, really important thing. Oh,
wow.
But that was Mama and I's system. So I learned, you know, how Mama and we'll, so every second weekend we'll do the linen. The other weekend we'll be changing the folding of that again. which is really good because you don't want it to be stuck, especially the really fine, fine mats, the number ones.
Yeah.
So we have to change how it's folded, how it's stored, and just to air it again. And
then, is it so that it doesn't crease?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, Mama was very particular about that. But yeah, most of the day, my daily one was all about, you know, what a mom and dad want. My mama loved hosting in the village when there'll be people coming to go to the beach, or they'll stop. Mama would welcome them and she'll host them. You know, she was very particular about the tray with the teapot, the china. Oh my gosh, my mama was really into that. She had that particular way of, you know, the teacup and the saucer, the spoon, the sugar and the milk. And so that was how I learned. That was what I learned from my mama was, besides looking after what's here, is the hosting of people, giving the best. And that was it, giving the best to people that were coming and how to be welcoming and how to, you know, engage with people. But also how to, mama was the matriarch. My daddy passed earlier. And then mama survived, but she was the matriarch. It was all about family. So she was really good at hosting and relationships and family. That was good. The other part of my day is I was a scribe for my mama in family genealogies.
Oh.
Samoa has two courts. There's the government justice system, and then there's the lands and title justice system. The normal courts, yeah, it's all those criminal, civils, everything happened. The lands and title, that's always the drama. That's always the exciting thing. It's in every village you've got, you know, where are your family lands? What's your family name? Are you a true heir? Or, you know, it's all those. It's very, very dramatic. And it's always court cases. And it's always welcoming. So growing up, that was my other big role that I was so proud to hold, was being the scribe for my mama.
Wow.
Scribe, because everything was in her, you know, she knew the families, who's, where, what, and the lands and the villages. So those books is really good. I've passed it on to my parent, you know, to the eldest now to look after, and it will come down to us. And it's the stories of our family, where our family trees come, where we come from. And that was, I loved that job. It was keeping house, but keeping house in a wider sense.
You're keeping your village and your
but
your
it was,
family,
oh my
you know?
Gosh, I didn't think about it
yeah.
then. But it was, I loved growing up with my mum and daddy. I learned so much, and they took me to every meeting they went to and listening to how they talk in Fasamoa. And listening to the different, and it was, they deal with, because they were church ministers, I knew all the different church ministers, and their, you know, they had kids my age that we were growing up together in all different groups and all different committees. It was a wide exposure.
Wow.
I've now realized as you're talking to me how much more blessed I am with that, with my mama and my daddy, and it's a, yeah, so.
Especially because you were born into that role. You know?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, when you're young, you don't think about it.
Yeah, it's normal to you.
I was just happy to be, you know, aww. I was, you know, because I know I was spoiled because, you know, the other ones would come, and mom and dad, if they're having something nice for lunch, because, you know, you serve them first. And then if they have something nice for meals, I'll be, I like that. And then I'll get the first dips. The others were always going, she's so spoiled. I'm like, I'm the favorite.
So you grew up with a lot of elders and, you know, just families, communities. Can you tell me about your, you know, your cousins, your brothers and sisters? Yeah, what's life with, like,
oh
them?
My gosh.
School, you know?
School. Oh, gosh. I loved going to school because we were all around the same age. So when we were going to school, we were all going to school like a big group of family. And when I, when mum and daddy left Salamumu, we moved to a village called Vaimoso, which is just out of Apia. So that's where they finished their service. It was their last 3 years before dad was 70. So at 70, you retire from the church. So we had 3 years in Vaimoso, and that's where I remember starting school. So we used to, school there was exciting because there was one family that had a truck in Vaimoso. And, you know, and we all used to stand there waiting for the truck to come from the back,
yeah,
you know, and hopefully it will stop and we'll all jump to the back. That was when we were all, well, we are allowed to sit at the back and get a ride into school. Schools was fun with all the cousins and all the, gosh, all I remember, it's a lot of playing. Yeah, learning the APC because there was the Samoan classes and there was the English class. So the English classrooms had here 1, 2, 3. And then all the Samoan speaking classes was where we were running around.
So you had both education.
Yeah. So we had Apia Primary was where I started. Oh, Apia Infants, year 1 to year 3 was where I started. And you learn to do the writing, you know, the squirrels and do the writing, perfect the writing. Taught in both English and Samoan. With my cousins, there was always someone around. I was never alone. Like, yeah, it was good when you're little. It's when I was a little bit older wanting a boyfriend that it made it a little bit harder with everyone. Someone's always around and it was like, ooh. But I cannot fault growing up with everyone, you know, with the cousins because we were just – and we'll all go home together. We'll all walk home together and we'll all scrounge around finding something to eat. But it was good. Learn together. Fought together, as you do. But I think I always took my role seriously as the carer, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
And so it was always making sure that everyone was fed. I took that very seriously. And I started babysitting when I was little. My little cousins, baby cousins would come. And after school, they'll all get dropped off at home. And I love it. It was another responsibility. But one I absolutely loved and adored. But, yeah, wow. Always good to have family around. It was an open – we didn't know what we didn't know. And we loved how we were growing up and, you know, running around. And I remember – and there was always a tuck shop or the canteen, they told it now. And it was always you get given – is it tutala? But, man, you can get an ice block. Ice pop, and a cream bun. That was enough. Yeah. Well, you know, that was enough.
That was exciting.
That was so good. And it was good memories, good challenges. But, it was good times with my cousins.
So your childhood was just amazing.
My childhood was just being me. I suppose, being me, and I think about it now, it was, yeah, I had that always in me to look after the others ever since I was little. So it's always been part of me coming forward.
So when you came to Dunedin, it must have been a really big change.
Oh, my goodness. So we got to seventh form, university preparatory year in Samoa. So we did schooling all the way through. And then we were, you know, Samoa was very, very competitive in education. We were always taught, you know, education. You've got to fight with your brain. So it was very competitive. Like, we loved each other, we had fun, but it was always competition on where we ranked, you know, or is it an A or an A plus or an A minus, those sort of things. So, but we were all happy where we were. We knew we knew what we needed to do. We knew where we needed to go because it was always, you've got to do well and get a scholarship. That was always fed into us. And also the other thing that influenced mine was going in to see a doctor or dentist or pharmacist in Samoa was on the wall was always the plaque of University of Otago.
Oh.
That was how I always visualized it, and I knew.
So you've always seen the University of Otago, even in your village.
Wow. Yeah, I've always seen it. It was all in the offices, and I remember talking, and they said they were the first cohort. You know, that those ones that were then, like my parents, were the first cohort that came, that were brought over to Waitaki Boys, the boys. And then from them, they came to uni here. And that's where we had pharmacists and dentists and doctors come through. So their plaques was quite a big thing for me to see that. So we were competitive, and especially getting to the point of getting a scholarship. We were all aiming. We all wanted scholarships, no matter where it was. So New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, and there were scholarships in Samoa were offered. I applied to come to New Zealand. Wellington responded first. I wanted to do like biomedical sciences. I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I knew, but I also knew I liked to be in health space. Mm. So Wellington came first, and I was like, okay, Wellington came. Then Auckland responded, also in the same space, and I was like, okay. But my choice was the last, and that was here.
Yeah.
That was in Otago.
You were just waiting Otago, right?
I just wanted to come. Yeah. You know, it was that picture that everyone had, a University of Otago on the plaque, and when they came, I was like, that's where I'm going. it was cold when I landed. It was summer. It was supposed to be summer in February.
Yeah,
it was cold, but it was an adventure. And it was, there was two of us from my year, and I knew him so well. He was like a cousin brother that we grew up together. We've gone through school all the way through. So him and I were the partners that came down. And when we came, there was already another from our college in Samoa, Samoa College. It were the others that were a year ahead of us and another one that was 2 years ahead of us. So we knew all these people that were already here, scholarship students, and they were here. So we had this little group. We connected and knew who was here.
Yeah.
So we already had a group here that were our big brothers and sisters when we came through. So it was, and when I came through, there was, when Harry and I came through, there was a girl from Tonga, a girl from Vanuatu, a boy from Vanuatu, a boy from Solomon Islands, and us two Samoans. So that was the Pacific students that came in that year, and we were put together. So it was really good to have that. It was really good to know them and hear their journey as well, and that's why I picked here.
Aww.
Because I, and so yes, I came here.
It's so
be a scuffy.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you had other Pacifica students with
yes.
you, because you know it would be hard to imagine you being from your village, being with everyone all the time, and suddenly you're alone here. But that's really good.
It was.
So what was it like being together as a group, trying to adjust to a new society?
Yeah, thank you. It was, as you said, it was really good coming with another group of Pacific students here, and also knowing the older ones that were here, and they were really good looking after us. The other thing, when we came back then, and this is showing my age many moons ago, there was no Pacific Island Center, so that's okay. But we had the international student support, and Dr. Kevin Farndon was the one looking after us at the biochemistry department at uni, and he was our carer. He was in charge of the Pacific students, and we were put in Dalmore House, Aquinas. So that's where we were, the furthest one in a hill. I don't like it.
Way up there.
I know, way up there. They were like, man, they must have been naughty to put us that far. But in, I suppose I was lucky, because when I came, they also, the university had a program with host families. And They gave me a host family, and they were the Grants. And I still keep my brothers and sisters from the Grant family, so still in touch with them. And they were, and so they were like, you know, come Sundays, come to Tonai. So I would take some of the Pacific students with me, because I was the only one that seemed to keep my host family, and everyone else were not comfortable. It was a learning time for us, for all of us, and how to dress. And that was the biggest challenge.
You mean wearing layers? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You should have seen my luggage when I came. I came, I think, my family in Samoa, so I came with a whole bag of every long sleeve. We went, you know, love secondhand shopping, so secondhand shops in Samoa, got pants, got long sleeve, everything. Came to Auckland. My family had rung the family in Auckland and said earlier needs blankets, everything. So I had another three bags to pick up from Auckland. But my family came, saw me off in Auckland to come to Dunedin. You know, family messages. When I got here, I was sorted.
You were sorted.
I did not need to go shopping. Yeah. But it was more, you know, it was warm. Didn't have woolly hats, but warm everything else. But it was learning to go with the flow here, and how to – being away from family was hard. Mm-hmm. Being away from my mama was hard. I would ring her – you know, and here it was like buy the phone card to do the ringing, because it was really expensive overseas calling. So it would be – so us from – the Pacific used to have a schedule of who's ringing, you know, because, you know, there was only one phone on our wall, and we would all get a card, and then we would rotate about ringing. And I used to ring my mom usually every weekend. Friday evening was when you ring. It's, and just to listen to her and have a prayer with her, oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry now. And her just advising me on looking after myself.
And it's so difficult. No. Sorry, I'm heart-crying as well. No. It's so difficult to be so young without your family.
It was.
And you were studying as well, right?
It was. The challenges were, it was how do I keep being the student, you know, on top of that, being away from family, being in a different place. Those were the things, you know, and how to back and forth. But the support here was really good. The support on how you can move around, the support on, you know, because we were so far away, we had to have lunch cards to eat at the union. So, and so it was, and you know me, I talk to people. So we made friends with most all the hostel students, and we would have lunch tables and got to know them, which really helped in, you know, in the being away. It was building another family. And that was, I needed to do that to have that community, people I can spend time with, people I can laugh with, people who can look out for me here. And we would have lunches, and then we would walk together. Keep in mind, Georgie Pie was at the bottom of Aquinas at that time. So it was always walk, stop at Georgie Pie, and then aim to go up to Aquinas. Yeah.
So that was your routine.
That was the routine. It was, you know, you had to laugh.
Oh, and also, like, you had to create a new routine, you know, very different to the life you had at your village. How do you feel connected to your Samoan culture at that time?
I think at that time I was like, ooh, it's new. You know, this is new. What am I learning? You know, what's new? It was exciting, scary, exciting. But I had to tell you, there's Samoans everywhere. Like, trust me. I thought I was at the bottom of the island. No, Samoans will be here. And yet, no.
They're all here.
Oh, they are everywhere. And it was, I think it was probably the second Sunday. And then it was found family, you know, family found me. So it was like, aww. I was like, this is good. So we would like, they'll pick us up, they'll take us. It was good. We had family here, and that was good to stay, not every Sunday, but every other Sunday to go to Lotu, to go to church, to spend time with them.
Because church is important to you. So how was it like finding the church that you connect with here?
Thank you. On the first year, it was mostly going to the Simon Church with the family. So they'll pick us up from the hall when we were at the hall and going to Lotu, the Simon one. So that was really good. So that was going, to me, it was going with the family to have Lotu and to have that connection. And also because they'll report back to say, they are okay. We've had her for Tu'una'i. She's well, you know, with that part. Got to do that part so that they're okay back home and not worried. When I started flatting on my second year, we moved into Titan Street, and which is not far from Alhambra, the corner of Alhambra down George Street. Right across Alhambra is the Anglican Church. And so when I was there, I found that. And that was, to me, was good. I needed to do that. It was not Samoan, but it was, I needed, as I was finding my way around uni, I always knew I could do that. Also, when I was in Aquinas, there's a Methodist church just in Northeast Valley, and I used to go in there. So churches, Lotu, the faith is really important. It keeps me grounded. And also connected. And also every, you know, in the Fasamo, they say, you know, even though we're not together in, we can't see each other regularly together and before the Lord in prayer and His Spirit, we are. So that's always been something that holds me. And I know the prayers of my families have carried me through, and I'm always thankful for that. And I can't, you know, the value of prayer is important. Just to stay connected, but also just to care and also for my mental health and my well-being.
Keeps you grounded. Yeah,
keeps me solid. But yeah, it was always, I was always finding the one to go to as a student. And it was all of us. We all were different, all the Pacific students, but we all found churches to go to. And that was important. Like all the Tongans found Tongan families here. The Vanuatu and Solomons found little groups, and we all had different churches we found that was part of us, and that was important.
Mm. And so fast forward now, you live here in Dunedin, you just, you know, still, you know, from that coffee dream, you're now here, you live here.
I'm
now
down here.
Yeah,
can't leave.
Actually, you can't leave.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, how do you feel about being here now?
How do I feel about being here now? Oh my, it's been quite a journey, life's journey. I finished uni. I did a Bachelor of Medical Laboratory Science. I got my first job at Waikato Hospital in the laboratory there, 5 years, and I met my husband, who is a Kiwi man from Lawrence. So we both moved up north, had the children, and then we had to decide which grandparents to be near. So my parents, my mother and father, are church ministers, and like the church, they move. So every time they move, so when they were in Auckland, it was really good. We could see them regularly. And then they moved back to Samoa. So I wanted, and my in-laws are here, central. So we made a decision to be near a set of grandparents. And also, I really enjoyed here. It was small enough. And raising a family was important on accessing all the different support and resources that we have. So we came back, have been here a while, but have loved it. The schools are amazing. The community is amazing. It is on one to find the community you want, and also to be involved and open and embrace what's happening around us. I find I'm grounded here. Like, this is home. And as I said, where I go, I'm always looking at building a ainga. So my ainga has expanded here. And it's the sense of when the kids started school, they were at St. Francis Xavier. The teachers became family. And then as they moved through, you know, doing sports and things, the ainga expanded some more from all the parents from schools, sports, different activities the kids were in. We were busy being parents. Every fundraising, yes, was in front of the organizing, the fundraising, organizing, coaching sports. I never knew I could play, but hey, yes, we were there managing teams.
Aww.
It was being part of that community, and with that you get to build more, you know. You build your community, you build your family. And even now the children have grown, they're adults, you still, you know, connected. And I love seeing how the young ones do. Well, now they're young adults. They're not young anymore. But where they are and what they're doing, and it's always exciting. It is now my home, our home. My in-laws inland, like inland or Maruwe. My parents have just gone back to Samoa. My mother and father and my mom, my auntie mom. So they're important to us now. For us now, Brent, for my husband and I, it is looking after our parents and also raising the kids.
Mm.
And everyone says sandwich, pop sandwich now, but it is a journey, and the journey hasn't been without its hiccups, you know.
Yeah.
There's challenges in health, challenges in everything, but I think it's how we've just gone, we're good. We're just moved. We're here. We're blessed. We're still alive. We're breathing.
And it's part of life as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've been taking care of your whole community in Samoa, and now you're still taking care of your community in different ways.
Yeah,
but
different
you're
ways.
Also letting the community take care of you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, you're right. And I'm not really good at asking the community to take care of me. That's always just been me. I'm always the one taking care. But
you are the caretaker, yeah.
The community has been really good. And it's, you know, as you build your family, they want to take care of you. And that's something I've had to learn, to let them take care of me as well as me taking care of them.
Yeah.
So that's been a big learning as we're going through this journey. But and like you guys, like
aww,
you as well, part of the family, big family as we grow. And I'm loving the diversity, the color around now that you see, that you hear.
Yeah.
I really love that. And it's how we grow.
Aren't we lucky to be part of your village?
Oh, you are. Gosh, you are. You guys have been so busy in the village.
No. And so tell us about Lupesina. Because it is a radio show and podcast about Samoan women. When did that idea come into place? And why is it important that it's about Samoan women specifically?
Faftai, I think we had that Lupifita La'i one, Bupi Fatu's, with that Pulukalami that's just on hold at the moment. But the Lupe was mostly females, you know? And it was like, well, we need to talk about us, was when we were having a Talanoa earlier on. So this was when Tofi Lau Nina was here, and Taitu Unga Christine was here, and myself. And it was like, yeah, we do. You know, we need to have a program that's just about the women, us women, sharing what we know, being the voice to share things, share information to our mothers and our elders. And also that, you know, it was more, as you asked, what are some of the challenges that we've had when we came through? How can we talk about that? What are some services that are available that can make life easy for our new moms coming through, our new new families coming through? And also knowing, and I might be feminist in this, is that the family is, or, you know, the CEO, COO, CFO is the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry, men. But and it falls on the woman, the mother. So the mother is the wife and everything else that goes with it. So how do we make it? How do we share that? Ways to make it easier. Laughter. how to laugh at things, little tips about what's happening here, free sessions over there just to support our mothers, our Samoan mothers, and talk both in the Samoan language because some have just come that the English is still, they're still learning, but also have for the English to have, for me, that's always been important because we've got a lot of, my children are half Kasi, so they're both Samoan and Palangi. And I know that there are a lot of Afakasi young people, Samoans out there. So whether the mother or the father is Samoan or non-Samoan is a program that they can hear. Aww. They can hear both things and sharing information on both sides so they don't miss out. So our young people, our children don't miss out. So that's always been important to myself is how do we share the information, but how do we, I suppose, enable or advocate for the Samoan moms in any which way. And it covers a wide range. And it, I think for myself, it's always been through my journey, what are some of the things that I've hit or I've come across that can be better? Or I see that there are gaps, that there's no Samoan representation or Pacific representation. So I've tried to cover as much. And yes, I'm passionate about health, so I have been on health, on everything health, but also just to remind them about elections, voting, and just talking to them about little things. It's good to share because I find that we know so much, yet it would be good to share so that others know.
Yeah,
what it is we've learned. It won't be the same experience, but it will at least give them some guidelines on how or where. And there's always so many things happening. There is always questions about different things.
And just having a place where people can go to find information that they may or may not know about. You know, just awareness in general of these
awareness.
Conversations.
Awareness in general, promotion in another sense, and just being positive. It's a positive space. Mm. We want to be positive and we want to, you know, shine that light into this nothing. Yeah, it's challenging, but it's all challenging all the way. And we just, there's always someone else that you can reach out to. And that's been the thing, is always reach out. It's never, you know, you're not alone. And I think I talk more about the ones coming from the islands, that you're not alone, that there's a community. There's a village out there, and that village is all around.
Irelia, you are being a big sis, a caretaker, even on your podcast and radio show. You are taking care of the women, the families, the whānau that can't come in by doing lupesina. Do you realize that? That is insane.
I hope so. It's I really enjoy lupesina. It's you're right. It's another part of taking care.
Yeah.
And it's nowadays we have to use different ways of, because we're away from the community in the island. So taking us away, putting us in a different space. These are ways to reach, different ways to reach our communities and our aingas, and bringing everyone together because we're all in the same journey.
Exactly. And there's 100 episodes now.
Oh, my gosh, I know. I talk a lot, don't I?
And it's good. It's good that there's always content. There's things that you need to talk about because, yeah, there is a lot to talk about. There's a never-ending journey of a woman.
Oh,
and different
you're spot
things.
On. Never-ending. We are multi-talented in so many facets of life. Yes.
Mm. How excited are you about
the
future, yeah, the future.
The future,
of
oh my. Oh, the future is, gosh, you cannot. It's a good one. For me, I've always tried to think ahead. I've always, wherever I've worked, it's always, there's always the plan for the now, but there's always looking ahead. And I've always, one of the things I've always talked about is with my family, it's the must-haves, the good to have and the dream to have.
Oh.
You know, it's always good. Those are things. So have those and always have those in your back pocket. Whatever comes, you always have to have the must-haves. Those are the very important things. And then, you know, when the budget allows, have the good to have. And then the dream, oh, yeah, it's always good to have a dream. But, you know, so the must-have for me is always about family. It's always family and faith. Family, faith, and friends. That's the village we're in. And it builds and it makes, it fills one. And it always fills me. I just came back from Samoa. I took my mom, and it was to be back home, even for a short time, was good for my soul, was good to fill the soul. And then come here and have family, faith is really important, and having friends around. Yeah. You know?
So that's your must-haves.
Oh, those are my must-haves.
What about your
good to have?
Good to have.
The power would be good to have. I live in Moscow, and our power did not come on last night. I know. So we pulled out the camping kit this morning to boil the kettle for a coffee. Need a coffee in the morning. So yes, the power was quite interesting not to have. I read, which is good, but the young ones, what are we supposed to do? There's no internet.
Yeah.
It was a teaching moment for them. Oh yes. Yeah. It was really interesting. Talk, you know, chat. Yeah.
Yes, this is the time.
Read.
I have to give some context to the listeners. So this is recorded during the wind.
The weather.
The wind. The crazy wind that we've had in Dunedin. So when you said power, I didn't go through electricity. I thought you meant like actual power, you know.
No, I need electricity first. Good to have. Have to have. Needed to have because the young people then only rely on internet.
Yes, yes. That's your good to have. Yeah.
Yeah, good to have is always good to have. I mean, it's everyone's good to have. It's always good to have good food. It's always challenging. Food. I went to a community meeting and they had 5 priorities for the Pacific: housing, education, economic, business growth, health. Did I say health? Health. And then the last one was law and order. Housing is really important. It impacts health in housing. And those are good to have. Good housing, good education. Money management is always a good thing. And it's good to have that understanding of incomings and outgoings within to the family. For businesses is the workforce, growth of the workforce. Law and order, was it this a question from the community here about why that is in the top 5? But keep in mind that the response was good. The Pacific community, the biggest Pacific community is in South Auckland, and that was their must-have. That was one of their biggest things they must have. And if you think about it, yes, very important to have. The challenges up there are far bigger than what we have here. Our community here are, oh my gosh, this is like the best place to be. We can access housing. The schools are amazing. The education system is good. People are working. We've got jobs available. Whereas the majority of the Pacific population in South Auckland, the challenges are vast and hard. And it's very different to how we are here. So try and put ourselves into those shoes and see how they are, and know that we are blessed. We are blessed being in the South Island. And I'm talking across the Motu. Yeah, there are things that could be better, that can be better. But for the most part, we are dry, we are warm, we are clothed, we are fed, and we are schooled. So, and we have a community that cares. So, good to have, yeah, always good to have those. But always be thankful for what you have and thankful for each new day that comes as me. It'll be a dream to have. Win the lotto would be great, but I think everyone would like that. But it's a dream.
Yeah. Well, I love how your brain works. I'm writing down must to have, good to have, dream to have, because I feel like I want to reflect on my life now. And I feel like the listeners, as they listen here, they're going to think about those three things. And it's such a good thing to have to reflect on now at the end of the year to as we move into like a, you know,
the mad times.
We just have no idea what's going to happen in the future.
I know.
But Aurelia, I'm really happy that you're here today to talk to us. I learned a lot about just Samoan culture in general, but also your life and how resilient you've been and how you've been taking care of everyone. And you do have to let people take care of you, okay?
I know. I'm working on it.
You have to take that away from this conversation.
Yes, I do.
But we will chat more in the future, I'm sure. So Lupe Sina is available on Otago Access Radio, also on Apple Podcasts on Fridays, fortnightly at 5 p.m.
Yes.
So that is where you can catch Aurelia if you just can't get enough of her. But yeah, Fafatai, thank you. Terima kasih. I really appreciate this conversation.
Fafatai lava soifu maya manuia.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Cultures Features on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.